May I speak to you giving thanks to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This week, I was invited to be the guest preacher at St. Paul University. I'd never been there before. St. Paul University has an Anglican Studies program, and it seems the new chaplain's approach is to get all the clergy to come and know the place and have a turn giving the sermon. And I was told what the readings were going to be. They were going to be these readings, which is even better because I had time to think about them for your sakes. Except that being a weekday, they wanted me to delete one of the readings. Do a shorter service on the weekday, so take one of the readings out. Well, I wanted them to get rid of the gospel. Because there can be some manipulative moralizing that goes with, well, you at least could have thanked them. And so I would have liked to get rid of the gospel, but it would seem that the Anglican practice of doing a worship service always has that opportunity for us to stand in respect as we hear about Jesus. That's just part of how we do worship in the Anglican Church. And so the gospel is not the one to go, and I had to weigh, you know, what did I think? And I like the other readings a lot. It was a hard choice. Take the reading from Deuteronomy after the Israelites are arriving in the Promised Land. What I hear in it is God saying, when things are going well, don't decide you did it all yourself and put the credit where it is due. Because there is a temptation for what I'm going to call bootstrap theology. You know, you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. Except that, let's just say you have that kind of bootstrap determination. Where did the determination come from? Who helped you to have it? Or let's just say you are able to get ahead because you have good habits. Well, who helped you to figure out what good habits should be for you? Or you succeeded because you have good friends in the right places. Well, who showed you how to be a good friend that they would want to be friends with you? God is saying in Deuteronomy that it all comes back to God's great bounty for us. And then the Corinthians reading, Paul writes about being a cheerful giver and about what we receive being in proportion to what we invest. And I like that very much. I remember I was in a church where I was newly ordained. And everyone was trying to figure out, well, we live in a neighborhood with apartments, and we've heard that, we've done a demographic study. We've read that people who are renters don't really commit to the neighborhood. So how do we get apartment people to come to church? Now, this could be wrong thinking, you know. There's a lot more to human complexity than where you live. But I met a family where they had lived across Canada for their work, and everywhere they moved, they joined things in their neighborhood, they went to favorite restaurants and chatted up the waiter and went back looking for that waiter. And now, as retired people, they have dear friends across the country. It's about investing yourself, investing your energy and your love, and that's returned. So I didn't get rid of the gospel, as I said, but I realized I had to do a little more personal work on what I think was going on with Jesus having the 10 lepers and only one thanking him. You know, a lot of it depends on the tone in which you read it. Like, you could read that as if Jesus was being sarcastic. Only this one came. Or you can read it in a different way. So I found I needed to try and read it in different ways and hear it in different ways. And a couple of things came to me that I hope would be helpful for you. The first is, the story is set up as this is taking place in the land between Galilee and Samaria. There's no land between Galilee and Samaria. It's a border. Now, borders are a great difficulty in Israel and Palestine, as we well know now. And they were then too. And so some of the commentators have said, well, maybe Luke didn't know his geography very well. That's why he thought there was some land between these two places. But on the other hand, maybe he did. Maybe Luke wants us to think about that space between that is undefined. And it's important to be in undefined spaces where we don't know what our answer is yet, because we have to live in it. And this story takes place in that undefined space of we're neither here nor there. And miracles happen, and then we have to figure out who we are. The second thing that I found myself noticing was actually noticing. Let me say more. I want to defend the 9 lepers who didn't come back and thank Jesus. You know, maybe they were just doing what they were asked. Go to the temple and show yourself. And you know, in any group of 10, there are going to be all kinds of divergent thinkers, right? Maybe someone ran home to his wife to say, look, I'm fine. Or to his children. There are so many reasons why those 9 maybe did what they did. But the one who thanked Jesus, what he did was he looked at his skin and he noticed. And I've come to appreciate being around people who notice things. I've been at St. John's for coming up to 3 years. I'm no longer one of those people who notices things and is an outsider. We had a really significant funeral this week, and I felt like I was an insider. I was part of the St. John's family as we remember Jan Calder. But having outside eyes is a very valuable thing if you're used to thinking in a particular way. Having people with you who can say, why are you doing it like that, is very valuable. And this one who thanked Jesus, he's described as a Samaritan, he's an outsider. He sees things in different ways. And it's wonderful that he does. On a Thanksgiving Sunday, there are going to be people in church that I don't know. Maybe you know each other. I don't know some of you. You see things that we always see and we never notice anymore. And I'm really grateful that you do. And if you have questions, please say something, because it might help me to see in a different way. Jesus is making a connection between noticing and being grateful. That when we are better at noticing things, we will be more grateful. And so I want to apply that to myself. How can I be better at noticing? Because I really am grateful. And so I have a story about that. It's a harvest story. You know, we've got all the fruits and vegetables here. I want to tell a harvest story. This year, I grew tomatoes. I don't have a garden. I have a balcony where my tomatoes truly failed last summer. And I found out about another church that had a community garden where you could sign up and have a plot. And I signed up, and they knew I wasn't at their church, but they were very welcoming. And I got my plot. It was 4 feet by 8 feet. And I admitted to the person who is the organizer that I knew very little about gardening after all my tomatoes failed the year before. He said, oh, well, I started some seedlings in my basement. Would you like to plant some of those? Well, I planted all of them. You don't put that many tomato plants in a little 4x8 plot, but I did. I have to say, I would have had even more tomatoes if I had planted them with a little more space. But as it was, I was completely surprised because they all got ripe at the very same time. They were all the same kind of tomato plant, so they all got ripe at the very same time. And I was in this great dilemma of what am I going to do with these tomatoes? So I made tomato soup. I made pasta sauce. I started putting things in freezer bags and putting them in the freezer. And then someone said to me, well, you could freeze whole tomatoes. You can. And so I started putting whole tomatoes in the freezer. There's no room for anything else anymore. Then I started taking tomatoes with me as gifts instead of a bottle of wine. Then I gave my tomatoes to people who were making things like chili sauce. And finally, I called up the food bank. We have a food bank for the downtown, for Centertown. It's called the Emergency Food Center. And it's actually run by the Centertown Church's Social Action Committee. This is a very organized thing. It's been around for 30 years, and they have a food bank that has moved into new premises. So I called them up, and I said, would you like some tomatoes? And they said, oh, yes, and here's when you can bring them in. You should come and see our place. I went, and they were so wonderful to me, and I saw that the dignity with which someone coming to a food bank could come around and shop and pick what they'd like. And I was very moved by that. And in fact, I thought, maybe I don't need to grow kale next year. Maybe I'll just grow the same tomatoes and give them all away. I was surprised by the abundance of my tomatoes, but I was surprised by that feeling in myself of wanting to give them all away. Well, if I could apply that noticing and gratitude to being here in this church, that's what I want to do. I want to apply that to us. It's not that I'm surprised by the abundance we have here. It's how deep the roots of it go. We do something called Open Doors, where we have the church open for an hour. Sometimes we've done it on weekdays, we do it on Saturdays, and we have a nice brochure that gives a little bit of the history of the church. And if you read that pamphlet, that's where the roots are deep. It says, we had women in leadership long before many other churches. This church has been supportive of 2S LGBTQ people for a very long time. It had an AIDS ministry before anyone else was doing it. It gives space for circles of support and accountability to help sex offenders come back to living the life they really want to live. This year we went to the Pride Parade. We have an Indigenous engagement coordinator who offers smudging on most Sundays. When it comes to Black History Month, we'll be there too. The roots of abundance go deep here, and they're not flavor of the month. They're about our readiness to hear scriptures and see that they are pointing to Jesus as compassionate, open, and progressive. All those things I mentioned are linked in this vision of Jesus as compassionate, open, and progressive. And so when we are here caring about the language we use in Scripture, when we're here and we're being intellectually curious, these are not new things. We have roots of abundance of the people who have come before us who also felt that way and are still among us and feel that way. We are rooted in abundance. In our people, in our passion, in our story. Our capacity for caring for people today is rooted in our story of how we've cared for people over a very long time. And scriptures like the ones you've just heard are also calling us to that image of Jesus who is open and progressive and compassionate. That's what that person who was healed of leprosy saw. And I'm just going to defend the other nine and say they went home joyful to their families in the abundance of their good health. And may God bless you with the ability to see abundance in your life. Amen.